You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Forfeit the game before somebody else takes you out of the frame. Put your name to shame, cover up your face. You can't run the race, the pace is too fast, you just won't last.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, rejoined by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DH82 underscore Bucs, and at Bucs underscore Nation. David, of all the times that we couldn't link up and get some podcasts done, it had to be this week.
Yeah, it's funny how that works sometimes, but of course it was. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, wondering why the other shoe hasn't fallen yet, and then that's when the shoe drops. So it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, it's a good thing. There's a silver lining to it because you were able to get JC to jump on with you there kind of last minute, really, when the news dropped. And that was awesome. I shot him a text afterwards and, you know, thanked him for covering in for me. So it was great to have somebody like that who we can rely on and is obviously well connected and well versed in what's going on with the Buccaneers to come in on such short notice. So greatly appreciate JC doing that and appreciate you guys throwing down that episode, even though I couldn't be a part of it.
100%. Yeah. I really appreciated JC jumping on and we got to get him back on for a full episode here soon. But we haven't heard your take on the Gerald McCoy situation. We've known it was coming. So kind of what was your initial reaction when the announcement was made that this is finally, I guess finally isn't a great way of putting it, but this is finally happening.
Well, I mean, saying finally is, I mean, kind of a good way to put it. And it's unfortunate just because it has drug on so long. And I remember we talked about it shortly, you know, I think the episode before it actually happened, where there was a point in time where either the Buccaneers were getting trade offers that they didn't like, or they just weren't getting trade offers. And if they're not getting trade offers, then there's just going to come a point where Jason Light, Bruce Arians, whoever, they're just going to have to say, okay, long, you know, enough is enough. And obviously that happened this week. And the fact that he was cut flat out and not traded, I mean, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even if you can get a seventh round draft pick in exchange for him, it's almost better than just releasing him. But that tells me that, I mean, nobody was making any serious offers. Maybe there were some people kicking the tires. Maybe there were some people making, you know, cursory phone calls, stuff like that. But nobody had made a firm offer. That's just my belief of it. And many people have already gone on social media talking about how we'll over the coming months and years, even we'll find out more and more about what went down between Gerald McCoy and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But this is a long time coming. And I don't know if it was even pre the hiring of Bruce Arians, but I mean, very early, just like JC talked about. And I know that Trevor gave him, you know, a shout out on Twitter as well. February 1st is when JC first tweeted about Gerald McCoy being on his way out of Tampa Bay. That's barely over a month since the end of the season and not even a full month into the time Bruce Arians was with the team. So that's what makes me think that some of this might predate Bruce Arians' arrival. I know there at the end of the season, of the 2018 season, the way that Gerald McCoy was talking, it kind of looked like this was a dude who knew that his time with the team was done. And I remember we all commented on that, and a lot of people wrote about that there at the end of the year too, that it just kind of seemed like McCoy knew that 2018 was his last run with the team for whatever reason. And some of that stuff will come out, some of that stuff won't. But at the end of the day, the bottom line was the same thing we've been saying, is it's not a fit. And it's either not a fit because of the scheme, or it's not a fit just because of the franchise, not a fit because of the history. Whatever the reasoning is, it's just, it didn't work. And it's unfortunate because Gerald McCoy very much is one of the, you know, one of the best players in this franchise's history. He's definitely made a lot of good things happen for the team. And he was a shining part of a lot of bad teams. But at the end of the day, there's just no denying that the teams, by and large, that he was a part of were just disappointments. And he was part of a disappointing stretch, whether it's his fault or not. Again, kind of beating that dead horse. But this should be the last time, hopefully, that we're really going to talk about that. Although we say the same thing about Coach Cutter, and yet Coach Cutter still comes up and probably will, at least until you know, the regular season starts this year.
That's probably my fault because I take shots at him whenever I can.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not just us. I mean, it's everybody. Everybody still talks about Coach Cutter, you know, from time to time. And that's just that's part of life. I mean, how we still bring up Greg Schiano and John Gruden and Tony Dungy. So, I mean, you know, like I said, you're part of a team's history. Unfortunately, Gerald McCoy is part of a bad stretch of this team's history. And hopefully moving forward, we're going to start a new chapter of good history with this team. But, you know, we'll have to see.
I think it was Greg Allman that had pointed out kind of in Gerald McCoy's final post-game media availability, he was talking like a guy that was gone. So he's known for a while. We've all kind of known for a while that it was going down. And of course, before we started recording, Gerald released his Instagram video of him saying goodbye to Tampa and the Glazer family and the fans. And he even says in there, he says, I'll be back. I'm going to retire as a Buccaneer, but for right now, you know, I have to move on. So, you know, there's going to be some hard feelings. I think both by McCoy and by the team, but I just got to say, man, this social media overreaction is next level. I mean, you have news outlets writing articles about, you know, the amount of money that Ndamukong Suh has been fined, you know, almost taking a shot, and we'll get to Suh here in a minute, but taking a shot at the guy that's replacing McCoy. You have people taking shots at Bruce Arians, talking about, you know, Bruce Arians came out yesterday and addressed the media and said, look, I issued a statement on Gerald McCoy. I'm not answering any questions about that. I wish him all the best, but I'm here to talk about the players that are here. Yeah. You had people taking shots at Arians like, well, what a way to treat a pillar of the community. It's like he didn't do anything wrong. You guys were going to ask him 50 different questions about Gerald McCoy that were all going to get the exact same response. He didn't want to deal with it. He issued the statement. He said as much. Let's move on. Keep it moving. It's ridiculous. The amount of just overreaction and crying going on. Like, I get it. You and I time and time again have defended McCoy and, you know, supported McCoy and all this, but he's not here anymore. He's gone. You can root for him. You can wish him the best. That's fine. But there's no sense in crying about it. It's time to move on. Gerald McCoy is not part of the Bruce Arians era in Tampa Bay. Are these same people crying about McCoy leaving going to be saying the same thing if the Bucs are playing wild card weekend in January? I doubt it. Right. Like, we all knew this was coming. If this was a surprise to you, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. And not for nothing, but that's again, kind of going back to that. There's more to this story than what's on the surface, than what's being reported. Yes. And everybody's going to find out about what's really going on eventually. You know, it's either going to be in someone's book or someone's going to talk about it post-career. You know, somehow, some way, these things always happen. When these things happen, when a star player divorces from a team, there is eventually someone somewhere who comes out and says what actually was happening behind the scenes. Again, when Gerald McCoy, just like you said, Greg Allman said, when Gerald McCoy gave his last interview with the media at the end of the last season, it was a guy who sounded like he was on his way out. That has nothing to do with Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians wasn't hired back then. Now, granted, you know, there's been some rumors that there were talks behind the scenes before that, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I mean, you put that together with his wife commenting on the Instagram post that it's funny that people actually think he still wants to be in Tampa. I mean, when that season went off the rails, and we kind of talked about this before, if him not being a captain kind of led to this, and him not being a captain could have been one of those like final straw deals where by itself, isolated, it's not a big deal. But because of everything else that's on top of what's going on, it was a bigger deal than it could have been. I mean, it's who knows if in his exit interview with Jason Light, he didn't tell Jason, hey, look, dude, I've been here a long time. You've been here a while. I've put in a lot of work into this team. You know, my name is attached to this team. I've gotten a lot of things in the community. I'm tired. I'm tired of the losing. I'm tired of the new coaches. I'm tired of the rotation of the coaching staffs. I want to go somewhere else. I need a fresh start. I need to move. Do me a favor. Let's get me out of here this offseason and just move on. Who knows? Maybe Jason Light told Gerald, hey, dude, you have a lot of money coming. We need you to take a pay cut or we might have to move you. And he said, bro, just move me. I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm not trying to hear it. let's just move on. Again, the press release is the team and McCoy mutually parted ways. Now, I've seen some stuff on social media about, oh, yeah, that's just the team trying to act like they're not cutting. Listen, if you don't believe Gerald McCoy and his agent had something to do with how this news was released, then you don't understand the business. Trust me, Gerald McCoy and his agent had influence and had their say on how this story was released. So this story being released as the team has agreed to part ways has just as much to do with Gerald McCoy as it does with the team. So the team allowing him, basically what it reads to me is he doesn't want to be a guy who just flat out got cut. Like, I just got cut from my team, first round draft pick, almost a decade in the franchise, and I was just unceremoniously cut. No, this is a, you didn't dump me, I didn't dump you, we just agree that we need to see other people type of situation. And Gerald McCoy had as much to do with that being the delivery as anything else. Listen, Gerald McCoy had zero practices with Bruce Arians, zero games with Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. So this decision was made off of the field when it, as far as it relates to the coaching staff. All right, if this decision was made with Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles' influence, it came from conversation only. Because we know what the team saw on film. They saw a defensive tackle who still has one of the fastest get-offs in the league, who has a very high pressure rate, and has the ability to disrupt the opposing offense. That's what they saw. Who wouldn't want that on their team? This is not a play issue. It's either a pay issue, which comes from before the hiring of Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, and is between Jason Light and Gerald McCoy almost exclusively, or it's a desire to stay with this team, which is kind of what Bruce Arians hinted at before, is does he have the desire to continue doing what he's doing? Bruce Arians wasn't necessarily questioning Gerald's desire to play in the National Football League anymore. He was most likely questioning his desire to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the National Football League. His wife reiterated that sentiment. And again, the postseason presser from Gerald McCoy kind of supports that sentiment. And now here we are. I don't know. And then as far as respect, Bruce Arians never coached Gerald McCoy. Bruce Arians has no ties to Gerald McCoy. Bruce Arians and Oklahoma have nothing in common. Gerald McCoy and the Arizona Cardinals have nothing in common. The Colts, the Steelers, nothing in common. Virginia Tech, Temple. Bruce Arians and Gerald McCoy have no ties, other than Bruce Arians working in the same city that Gerald McCoy is now a former employee of. Bruce Arians allowing that message to go out as they mutually parted ways and not coming out and saying, no, Gerald just didn't want to play for this team, is respectful. That's respecting this man's wishes. And again, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but I mean, look at the signs, guys. Like, his wife on public, you know, on public platforms laughing about how he doesn't want to be here anymore. The end of season media interactions where multiple people have said it just looked like a dude who was leaving, who was done, and on his way out. The fact that Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, and Gerald McCoy have had no quote-unquote official on the practice field play-related interactions before this move was made. Guys, this is, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of smoke for there not to be a fire. And yeah, I don't know. Again, more will come out, but that's my speculation. And I think that it's rooted and based off of fairly solid facts.
Yeah, well, and I mean, we've had discussions of things that we've heard about from behind the scenes. We are not, you know, at liberty to publicly discuss, but you know, like you're saying, you know, these things are going to begin to leak out one way or another. They always do.
Yeah.
So, ooh, well, yeah. Let's shift it over to the guy that's going to be replacing him. And David, you teased on an episode that you had something coming that I wasn't going to like, mm-hmm, over on BucksNation.com. And it was the fact that you were going to discuss that Ndamukong Suh should be the guy to come in and kind of take over Gerald McCoy's role.
Yeah.
Sure enough, you know, about a week to a week and a half later, we start hearing a little bit of rumblings, and then it starts picking up some more steam. And then all of a sudden it all comes down at once. That, and let me make sure that I'm clarifying this, because I've seen a lot of headlines and a lot of things on Facebook and Twitter and things like that. Ndamukong Suh has not signed with the Buccaneers. Ndamukong Suh and the Buccaneers are close to reaching an agreement. Those are two very different things. Ink has not hit paper with Ndamukong Suh yet.
Yeah.
As of this recording. But it looks like Suh is going to be the guy to come in and take over that three technique role, has played in a 3-4, is coming off of playing that alongside Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. And to me, David, this is, from a talent perspective, a lateral move. And people that are freaking out saying, oh, McCoy is so much better than Sue. And then there's people, you know, doing cartwheels. Oh, Sue's so much better than McCoy. They're the same guy. You know, McCoy is a little bit, and the sack numbers don't reflect it because Sue has played more games than McCoy, but they're 1.5 or 3.5 sacks apart from one another. Okay. So McCoy per game is a little bit better of a pass rusher. However, Sue has more tackles per game, more tackles for loss per game. You know, he brings that skill set. And I saw somebody tweet out, I can't remember who it was, but out of Aaron Donald's 20.5 sacks last season, 7 of those came when Sue was being double teamed and Aaron Donald had one-on-one opportunities. So nearly half of arguably the best defensive player in the NFL, nearly half of his sacks came because Sue was the one being double teamed. You're going to trade off a little bit, but ultimately this is a lateral move. The Bucs didn't get any better or worse, but what they did do was save money. We don't know how much yet because the details have not come out, but we know he's not going to cost $13 million. Cause if he was, they would have just kept McCoy. You're saving money. You're getting comparable production and you're bringing in a guy that I personally am not a big fan of, but from what we've heard, Bruce Arians loves this attitude. Mm-hmm. There are things to like about Ndamukong Suh, and there's things not to like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to harp on the things not to like right now, but mm-hmm. I do want to hear your take because you were big on this a little while ago. It just, mm-hmm. you know, we hadn't really had the opportunity to go into it in too much detail.
I'm a bigger Ndamukong Suh fan than I was Gerald McCoy fan.
Oh, wow.
Coming out of the draft. And but I'm not alone in that. Like Ndamukong Suh, by and large, was considered the better defensive tackle over Gerald McCoy. However, this was almost like a Devin White and Devin Bush situation where it was 1A and 1B, and McCoy was 1B to Sue's 1A. And Ndamukong Suh is the 1A in this situation. Now, they're both older. They've both got some tread on or some wear on the tires and all that stuff. I don't know what Sue's going to be paid. Our assumption is that the Buccaneers are going to save anywhere from $3 to $5 million on this deal. The deal that I kind of outlined. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit. So the thing that I wrote for BucsNation.com. Now I intended to write it about a week prior to it actually being completed and submitted and published. And the reason was because I really wanted to make sure I went about it in a constructive way. Because my intent was not to just rile up the Bucs Nation readers and get a bunch of reactions. My intent was to present an idea in a fashion that would hopefully spark some discussion and some thought versus just visceral reaction. And of course, you know this, and for those who don't, I mean, anytime you write something, you're going to get visceral responses, just period. But by and large, it was successful. By and large, what the comment section was filled with was discussion. Some agreed, some didn't agree. I can't remember if this was the one exactly, but like Donovan Smith got brought in, like people started bagging on Donovan Smith for some reason.
Not sure how that correlated other than the money spent on him.
Right. Now the idea, because that's all it was at the time, right? Was an idea that I brought up was a 2-year deal. And not to rehash the entire article, but basically it was a 2-year deal, 14 guaranteed, possibly $20 million in real money, 7 years or $7 million completely guaranteed the first year, which is less money than he was expected to get anywhere else. However, when you're talking about a guy as old as Ndamukong Suh is, which is not old in real life, but old in football life, security is more important than anything else. So getting 7 million years guaranteed in 2019 and 2020 versus getting $10 million guaranteed only in 2019 is it's a better idea for the long-term health of Suh and his family and the people who rely on him. The potential of boosting that money to $20 million, thereby getting an average of $10 million over both years instead of $10 million in 1 year, is the attractive part of him taking kind of that pay cut in the first year. what it would do is free up the money for the Buccaneers to sign the remaining rookies and even have a little bit left before they cut about 40 more people off of their current payroll. Now, that's not apparently what's happening. What's happening is a one-year deal, which is perfectly fine. But the construct of that is the question. And the only real solid report I've heard is from Ian Rappaport, who's saying that it could be worth up to $10 million. And that's a very tricky way to say that we have no idea how much his contract is going to be, but we know what his market value was, what he was seeking. So our assumption is that it's going to be somewhere near that. And you mentioned this on Twitter as well. Between signing bonuses and between incentives, I think it was Nicole Lynn, Quinnen Williams' agent, and we've talked about her a little bit. Again, if you're not following her on Twitter, you need to. You'll learn some stuff about how the agent world works. And she talked about bonuses or playing incentives. I'm sorry. There's two types, basically. There's the type where it's something you expect the player to do, i.e., appear in 60% of the games. That's an incentive that you would basically expect the player to hit. That money is counted in the cap number because you're expecting that player to reach that number. Now, if he doesn't hit that number, you get that money back in your rollover amount for the following season. Then you have another type of incentive, which is an incentive that you're not expecting the player to get. So for Ndamukong Suh, if you're looking at his career and especially his last like 3 years or so, giving him an incentive, like a $1 million incentive of 10 sacks in 2019, that could be considered. And again, these contracts have to be vetted, but that could be considered an incentive that is not expected to be met, which means that that $1 million chunk would not go against the cap. And if he meets it, then he would get that money. Now, if he meets it, I'm not sure how that works. Maybe it rolls over into the next year's cap. I don't know. I'm not an agent. I'm not a lawyer. But what I can tell you is that in the initial language of the contract, if he's got incentives in there, and that's where the up to $10 million, it could be $7 million guaranteed. And I can sit here and pat myself on the back and be like, woo, I'm a smart dude. And then that $7 million guaranteed has $3 million in signing bonus that's actually stretched over the next 3 years, which means in the next two years, even if they don't have Sue, part of that money is going to be against the Buccaneers cap, which is just spread out, which is fine. And then there could be another million or two in those, you know, unexpected incentives, essentially, which means that the contract would then be worth up to $12 million. However, when you look at the cap, the Buccaneers are only going to be on the hook for probably $8 million with the seven guaranteed and that $1 million of the bonus that they would pay out this year, if all that makes sense. So that's why we don't know. But honestly, let's say he comes in at $13 million guaranteed flat. Bucks Twitter is going to burn to the ground. But here's the thing, and we just talked about this. We don't know the backstory. And I will tell you that, like, James, you talked about, we've hinted around, we've talked about, everybody talks about, there are certain things behind the scenes that we do and we don't know. I will tell you right now, unless James is holding out on me, we don't know for a fact if Gerald McCoy went to the Buccaneers and said, I'm not playing in Tampa anymore. We have our ideas, we have our thoughts, we have some other things that we are holding back, maybe that could lead us one way or another. But we do not know that Gerald McCoy said, I'm not playing in Tampa anymore. But listen, the possibility is that Gerald McCoy said, I'm not playing in Tampa anymore, which means if he walks away with his $13 million price tag, they bring in Ndamukong Suh with his $13 million price tag, that still doesn't mean that this is the Buccaneers doing, if that makes sense. Now, I would be incredibly surprised if Ndamukong Suh is getting $13 million from the Buccaneers. But my guess is somewhere between 8 and 10. That's my guess is what he's going to get is between 8 and 10. And then, yeah, there's going to be some other moves, you know, JPP. I mean, unfortunately, depending on how his neck develops or the news they already know about his neck that hasn't been made public knowledge, he may very well be on his way out. There's guys like Will Golson we've talked about. Cairo Santos is most likely going to get cut, and that's only $1 million. But when you're talking about filling out this roster to the brim to try to make a playoff run, that $1 million is another player, a depth rusher that you need on your team that you can now keep because you cut Cairo Santos. It's not a full $1 million; it's close to $1 million. But yeah, I don't know. There's more stuff to come. But as far as Ndamukong Suh is concerned himself, what you're getting is a Pro Bowl caliber, starting caliber defensive tackle who can play the three tech, who can be disruptive in the middle, to team up with Vita Vea and to soak up blocks. Because if you're double teaming Vita Vea and you're double teaming Ndamukong Suh, you've only got one more automatic blocker on the line, unless you keep a tight end or a running back in. If you're keeping a tight end or running back in, then that's helping your secondary already because there's one less guy they have to cover. You have the same, it's the same situation. Like, Ndamukong Suh hasn't fallen off to the point where teams aren't worried about him, you know? And as far as his history is concerned, a whole lot of that is history. Listen, the guy had two unnecessary roughness penalties last year, and not for nothing, but who doesn't get an unnecessary roughness penalty in today's NFL? I don't know when the guy, like, when's the last time he was suspended? And it, actually, if you look at his game history, like, he's only missed a handful of games his entire career. So for someone who's got as big a history or as big a reputation as being as dirty as he is, the league apparently doesn't view it that way, because he's only missed a handful of games in his career, including, you know, despite stepping on quarterbacks and other stuff. And a lot of that is younger stuff. You know what I mean? A lot of that is in his past again. In his time with the Dolphins, I think he was largely basically just forgotten, which, when you're a player with a reputation as a Ndamukong Suh, that's probably a good thing a little bit. With the Rams, he was more of a footnote than anything else. And that's probably why some Bucks fans are just kind of, you know, like, are we getting, you know, Boston Shaq in this situation? But no, Ndamukong Suh is still a very disruptive player. He's still a very capable interior defensive lineman. And like you said about Aaron Donald, he has the capability of coming in there and impacting the line to where other people look amazing. And he's fine doing it, apparently, because he wasn't a problem in Los Angeles last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it makes sense. And I, as I've said, I'm not a Suh fan. I've always viewed him as kind of a, you know, a dirty player. But, you know, you make a good point. When's the last time that he really did something that got him in trouble that was considered dirty? You know, he was fine in Los Angeles, and I don't even remember him being suspended when he was with Miami, was he?
Not that I can recall.
And I know he's incurred a lot of fines, but I have his Pro Football Reference page pulled up, and he's played in all 16 games every year except 2011, when he played in 14.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's a point I made in the written post. Again, the written post that I made was not delivered in a sense of, I, David Harrison of BucksNation.com, believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to bring in Ndamukong Suh and get rid of Jerome Coy. What it was kind of, and a lot of people are leaning on it now, kind of the weirdness of, man, think about this. Like, in 2010, these dudes were 2-3. The Buccaneers wanted the guy who went 2, but they got the guy who went 3. The idea was that he was going to get them back to the playoffs. And now all these years later, it's coming full circle where they're going to get the guy who they wanted in the first place. And man, if they make the playoffs this year, like, that just brings the whole 2010 draft, like, kind of back into perspective, because now what people are going to start talking about is, dude, like, what if the Buccaneers had gotten Ndamukong Suh in 2010? Like, how much different might this franchise be? Not because necessarily stats, not because, and that's, again, part of what probably attracts Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians to Ndamukong Suh over a Gerald McCoy, if this is indeed a, we don't think Gerald McCoy fits on our team, is the attitude. And it's almost like Jameis Winston, like, you're going to have to take, like, if you want the Mike Evans pass against the Chicago Bears play of the game or play of the season moment with Jameis Winston, you're going to have to take the 4 interceptions, Jameis Winston. Well, with Ndamukong Suh, if you want that angry, I'm here to steal your lunch money and, you know, ruin your ESPN highlight reel type of guy on your team, you're not, it's not acceptable. Let me preface this, but it's not acceptable. You're going to have to take the guy who stomps on an opponent every once in a while. Again, he was younger. He's grown, but he's still a lunch money thief. Like, he's still going out there trying to take somebody's paycheck from them. However, what it looks like, okay, is he's no longer a limb stepper or, you know, whatever. That's why I keep leaning back on that one. But and again, and not for nothing, but $600,000 in fines, right? According to somebody's tally. I don't know. I adventure to believe if you asked a random NFL fan how many fines you think Ndamukong Suh has piled up in his career, that they would all be north of a million.
Yeah, probably.
$600,000. When I saw it, I know the intention was to be like, oh man, look how penalized this guy has been over his career. I was kind of surprised it wasn't higher. But I mean, that's, you know, $600,000, still a lot of money. But I don't know, man. Like, again, growth, we've talked about this too. Growth is painful. Change is painful. And when you're taking over a team that has back-to-back 5-11 seasons, why wouldn't there be a lot of changes? Why wouldn't there be broad stroke changes? Why wouldn't there be an almost brand new secondary coming into this team? Why wouldn't you at least eyeball moving a guy who is tied to the whole thing. And yes, I know, like, Mike Evans hasn't had a playoff season since he's been a wide receiver either. Lavonte David has been on the team, you know, 2 years shy of Gerald McCoy. Listen, 2 years from now, if this team is still going 5-11, I'll probably sit on this podcast, if I'm still fortunate enough to be here, saying it's time to move on from Lavonte David too. I will. Hopefully we don't get there, though. Hopefully we can talk about the struggle of this team signing, re-signing a Super Bowl winner in Lavonte David. But either way, man, like, it's way too early to be freaking out about anything. The team brought in Bruce Arians because what was happening before wasn't working. He's changing things that have happened before, and that includes moving Gerald McCoy. So let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot to be good, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned the over $600,000 in fines, which is such an astronomical amount of money for you and I or any of our listeners to think about. But do you know what Sue's career earnings are?
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a clever saying. I can't think of anything. A lot.
$138,715,157. So his $600,000 in fines is basically the equivalent of you or me being fined $10 by our employer. Like, that's nothing. And I did see an article. I can't remember for the life of me who tweeted it or what outlet it was from, but it was back when Ndamukong Suh was with the Detroit Lions. And he was the whole NFL's most charitable athlete. And he was sixth in the country of most charitable people. So everyone talks about, you know, what McCoy did in the community and all the things that he did with his charities. And of course, we know how the Bucks do the haircuts for pediatric cancer every year. And McCoy would hold the big checkup and then he'd take a Sharpie and he'd adjust the number and donate $10,000 or $5,000 of his own money, which was phenomenal. It was such a kind gesture by Gerald McCoy. But don't act like Sue isn't going to do the same things. Because he already has, despite the dirty player reputation or the doo-doo hole reputation that he has, or being listed as one of the most hated athletes, he is a charitable person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm starting to learn a little bit more about Sue since this stuff has come out, and I've softened a little bit. I'm still not a huge fan of him, but he's with the team in theory. Again, he hasn't officially signed. So I'm going to give him every chance, or, you know, I'm going to give him a chance just like I do anyone else. And I'll tell you what, mark it down, mark the date in your calendar, save it, you know, have the podcast or the soundbite ready to go. If Ndamukong Suh stomps on Cam Newton, I'm buying his jersey.
Oh, geez. So Ndamukong Suh is a dirty player, right? That's what a lot of these people are saying. And he's got, do you have it up? Because I can't, I'm just going off of memory, right? But he's got how much money in fines over his career?
I don't have the exact number in front of me. I know you're right. It was over $600,000.
It was north of $600,000, right?
Yeah.
So is Julian Edelman a dirty player? Because Julian Edelman paid almost $1 million in fines last year.
Wow.
So in one season, and granted, it's for pet use. But the point is, Julian Edelman has paid more to the NFL in fines in one season than Ndamukong Suh has in his entire career. Okay. Yes, he's definitely had some dirty moments. Nobody is going to shy away from that. And I will agree. Like, there was definitely a time where I was like, woo, I'm really glad the Bucks didn't draft that dude because that dude is dirty. But put everything in perspective. Okay. Again, you have to put time and distance between this stuff. Ndamukong Suh is not being brought in here because of what he did when he was younger. Gerald McCoy is not being kept because of what he did when he was younger. They're both being dealt with based off of what they've done in the past 1, maybe 2 years and what they could potentially do now. That's what all this is about. And as far as the person, like, if you've had a great interaction with Gerald McCoy, like, I know your kid got an autograph from him at a game, and that's great. And don't get me wrong, Gerald McCoy might be the nicest person in the world. If you want the full truth, I don't know the dude. But you don't get paid to play in the National Football League because you're a good person. I'm a good person. and I've never been offered an NFL contract. I've never even been offered the opportunity to be on a scout team. And I'm pretty nice, I think. I help people out sometimes. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be wrong. I mean, don't as a fan, as a member of the community, undersell what he did. Don't, that's not what I'm saying, but you can't tie the two together. Like, you can't say, well, the Buccaneers shouldn't move on from Gerald McCoy because he's a pillar of the community. Like, that's not what you're paid to do. You know, okay. It's just not what he's there for. It's a great extra. It's a great bonus, but there are Walter Payton Man of the Year candidates every year who get cut. Like Anquan Boldin, I think, like, wasn't he the Walter Payton Man of the Year, like, yeah, the year before he got moved? I can't remember what team he moved from to into, but
I think
the
that dude was when
literally
from...
was the best man in the NFL and got, and his team moved on from him.
Was that when he went from, was it from San Francisco to Baltimore?
I wanted, yeah, Baltimore, so I wanted to say it was when he moved to Baltimore.
Anyway, real quick, Indomitian Sue's fines $660,392.
Yeah, and I mean, and the difference, you know, before anybody asks me on Twitter, the difference between Indomitian Sue's fines and Julian Edelman's fines is that Sue's are for conduct on the field. Edelman's are for drugs to help him play better, you know, or maybe
which it was, is theoretically conduct on the field,
which is still dirty. You know what I mean? And to a certain light, I wouldn't call Julian Edelman a dirty player either. You know, I wouldn't call Patrick Peterson a dirty player either. But it is what it is. The point again is that when you're talking about players, and you said in the very beginning of this episode, and I threw out some stats in the post I wrote on Bucs Nation to kind of illustrate this point without directing people to the point, that like Gerald McCoy's got more sacks and Dominican Sue's got more tackles. Gerald McCoy has, you know, a better hit ratio on the quarterback, and Dominican Sue's got a higher pressure ratio on the quarterback. Like, really? They're a push. At the end of the day, they are a push as a player is concerned. Now, mentality wise, like, we talked about the captaincy thing, right? And Gerald McCoy saying he doesn't care about not being a captain. I don't buy it. I think he cared a lot about being a captain. And Dominican Sue not wearing a C, I don't think he cares one second.
Nope.
At all. Like, I don't think that dude, like, you put a C on his chest, you put a D on his chest, you put an R on his chest, and he doesn't even know why. He doesn't care what is on his chest as far as that's concerned. He's out there, like I said, to take his opponent's lunch money. So there's a difference, and that's a difference you want in this new regime. That's a difference that they want. So that's where you need to embrace things. As far as his history is concerned, we've got to move on. Like, everybody's got to move on. That was in Detroit. He's played for two other teams since then. Don't get me wrong. I mean, did the Lions let him move on because of, was that part of the reason why they let him move on? Quite possibly. And if it is, I would say that he deserved it. So then he went to Miami. Maybe he got some humble pie. They're playing for the Dolphins. And then he went to Los Angeles, got a taste of success. And now he's like, you know what? I want to bring all of that together. Everything he learned in Detroit, everything he learned in Miami, everything he learned in Los Angeles. Now he's going to bring it to Tampa with a coaching staff that also has learned a whole lot of lessons, had some struggles, had some successes. They're going to speak the same language. They're going to take all those younger guys under their wings, teach them that language, and win some football games. And hopefully Ndamukong Suh does some charity work in Tampa or around the area and in the process. But if not, it's okay.
You know how I envision Ndamukong Suh walking into the Bucs locker room the first day?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen the movie They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper?
No.
Some of our listeners know exactly where I'm going with this. Others are going to be like you and have never seen that movie. Yeah. He's going to walk in. He's going to stand in the doorway. And I just envision him saying, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
I've heard the saying before. So I get the theme, the mentality behind it. And yeah, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. That's why. I agree. I could see that. I mean, I don't think Dominic would ever say those words, but yeah, I could see that mentality kind of being what he's coming in the locker room with. And it's what the team needs. Yeah. I mean, he's a 180 of everything that Buccaneers fans have been complaining about with Gerald McCoy since he got to Tampa. So, yeah.
All right. Well, David, we are way over on time on this episode, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But on our next one, we will, of course, have your reactions to the McCoy cut and the Sue move. If you would like to send in yours, be sure to give us a call at 813-444-5841. Check out everything David and I are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, at DH82 underscore Bucks, and at Bucks underscore Nation. Please make sure you are subscribing to the podcast, whether you're using iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Spotify, and of course, now featured on the new podcast app, Himalaya. Make sure you're checking those out. Give us a subscribe. If you're on iTunes, leave us one of those amazing 5-star reviews. We will read it on the air, and we certainly appreciate you supporting the podcast. Hope you all have a safe, wonderful, enjoyable day, and thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks. Go on, brush your shoulders off. Ladies is pimps too. Go on, brush your shoulders off. This crazy baby, don't forget that boy told you, kid. That turn up your shoulder, you got a kid. That turn up your shoulder, you got a kid. That turn up your shoulder, you got a kid. That turn up your shoulder, you got a kid. That turn up your shoulder. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.